Boy, what a week it was. And, you know, I was praying to the Lord, and I've been praying to the Lord, and I don't know if you know, but longevity on my side of the family, both my mom and my dad is, I can't think of anybody that made it beyond 73. And so I was praying, Lord, you know what? I really would like to hit at least 80. You know, give me 80, Lord. That's, let me set the new mark. Let me do that. And then all of a sudden, about a couple of days later, he's saying, well, you know what? You got to do your part too. And you know, sometimes when we ask for prayer, we just want God to do it all, don't we? We just think, God, I'm praying this to you because, number one, I can't do it. But number two, it'd sure be nice if you just took care of all this for me. And it started to remind me, and so it made me realize, okay, I can't just eat everything I want to eat, and I just sit around and watch TV at night and not do stuff. I've got to take responsibility for myself. And it got me to thinking about a couple of different scriptures in the Bible, and I wanted to have you go along with me with those today, and I've preached on one before. It's found in the 6th chapter of Matthew. We find it in the Sermon on the Mount, as Christ is preaching. Starts in the 25th verse and goes through the 34th verse. And it really, I've always thought that this was more a passage just about worrying, you know, about worrying about things for ourselves. And, you know, when I prayed to the Lord, I wasn't worried that I wouldn't make it above 73. I'm not worried that I won't make it above 58 because I know where I'm going. But I just want to enjoy, you know, family. I mean, who here likes to enjoy their family? Anybody? Half of you? Okay, that's good. So I know that this first part really dealt more with joy, but I got to taking a look at it, and I said, you know, you got to kind of read between the lines there a little bit and see exactly what Christ is saying. And here's what he's saying. He's going, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious about anything, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And I got to thinking about it because, you know, sometimes when we pray that God for God to take care of a problem for us, we think that all we have to do is just we say the prayer, and then miraculously the next morning or the morning after or some short span of time, that problem will just go away. Anybody here hope that that's how it happens when you pray? Come on, let's be honest. We're a family here. We do that, don't we? It's just like, Lord, I want it done. I just don't want to have to do anything about it. That's kind of how I feel at times, you know? And I got to looking at this, and he said here, don't be anxious, because look at the birds. They neither sow nor reap or store up things in barns, but I feed them every day. Well, let me ask you a question. Who here has ever seen the worm jump into the nest? Anybody? I've never seen that happen yet. You've seen the worm come out of the ground and jump into the nest so the birds could eat it. I've seen the birds go down to get the worm, but I've never seen the worm offer him up himself and say, come get me. We have to do our part, do we not? We have to get out of our nest and get down in the ground, start hunting, pecking around and doing the work. Because here's what I realized. In God's answer to our prayers, He provides the solution for us to get them done. But He doesn't always provide that He will do it for us. He will provide us the strength. That's why Christ said, or Paul said, I can do what? All things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It didn't say, I can do all things through Christ because He does it for me. True? That's not what it says. There's only one thing that we couldn't do for ourselves that God did for us, and that was send His Son, Jesus Christ, to get it up onto that cross and bear our sins so that we can have eternal life. Because we could not gain eternal life through the law that God had set forth in the Old Testament. True? As hard as we might try to keep every one of those Ten Commandments and all the other laws that the Pharisees and the Sadducees placed upon us, there was no one that could be perfect enough in body, mind, and spirit to gain entry into eternal life. So you see this here, and I just got to thinking, how many other things in our lives do we do that? We might pray to the Lord, say, Lord, give me patience. And I know you're not supposed to pray for patience. Lord, help me get rid of this attitude I have towards this person. Lord, help me love, show my love more freely. Lord, let me have a giving spirit. Well, you don't just wake up one morning and all of a sudden you are a changed individual. Anybody here expect that? Truly expect that? Is that what we expect? Is that reality, though? That's not reality. You know, it's just not reality. You know, the scripture also says, if you have faith as that of a mustard seed, the size of a mustard seed, and say that mountain move, it'll move. Now, do you really think that in your mind, you are telepathically going to say, move, and it's just going to up and move itself? No, probably not. But God has given us the ability in our minds and in our spirit to come up with ways with shovels. And then from shovels to cart or to wheelbarrows. And from wheelbarrows to, you know, loaders and trucks and backhoes and all the dynamite. And can we not move mountains today? We can move many of them with one blast of like a 100 megaton bomb. Okay. Don't want to do that. I know that one might be going a little bit too far, but you think about it. God has given us the ability because we have faith that He can give us the answers. And during this time, you know, you have people that hear that and they think, well, if God provides everything, if I don't have to sow anymore and reap anymore, well, then I don't have to do anything. And it was so funny because I was talking to my good friend who I went to college with, and he was my catcher, and we both got drafted the same year, and he went and played for the Angels, and I went and played for the Phillies. And he was a very strong Christian by the time, you know, he got to college. And we got to talking about all these things, and one of the things I said to him that just frustrated me was the fact that I said, I have met people that say they gave to their heart to the Lord 30, 40 years ago. I say, but John, they still are but babies with diapers on because they have never progressed in the Lord. And he said to me something that's profound, and I absolutely agree, and it's because we both believe that in the everyday church out there, that's not what they preach. They don't preach moving on in the Lord. They only preach about repentance. Lord, I'm sorry I keep making this mistake. Lord, I'm sorry I keep making this mistake. I mean, has anybody here, and I always ask these rhetorical questions, and you don't have to, you can shake your head really small on this one if you want. Have you ever had a situation in your life, a problem in your life, or a character flaw in your life that you pray the Lord to get over and you keep doing it and you keep doing it and you keep doing it and you finally pray, Lord, why do I keep doing this? Why haven't you given me the ability to get past it yet? Anybody other than me? Dan, you're the only ones that raised your hand. You're just as guilty as me now. It's good. But we do that, don't we? We say and go, Lord, how come I can't get past this? And you have to realize this. Whatever that problem is that you have going on in your life, you have to work at it to get past it. You have to work at it to get past it. I can't imagine our brother Gene here having the new heart or the new almonds growing on the tree, and every one of the people that worked for him, they quit on him before harvest. And he says, Lord, help me with the harvest. Help me get this harvest in. Wakes up the next morning and says, man, there's nobody out here. Next morning, Lord, help me get this harvest in. Wakes up the next morning, there's still nobody out there. They're not going to just come knocking on his door. Lord gave him two legs, a mind, an ambition to go get and take care of the problem. Lord gave him the strength. But we think, Lord, just come in and shake the trees, Lord. Get them down and bring the winds and push them into the crates. It's what we'd like to see happen. Lord, not only did you solve the problem, but look how much payroll you saved me. Yeah. Just do it again year after year, Lord. It just doesn't work that way. It's just like a Christian that doesn't work. Do you actually realize that Scripture says the man that does not work, guess what? He does not eat. The Lord does not like hands that don't work. He likes people to get out and create their own income. Even Paul, when he moved from town to town preaching, especially to the Thessalonians in the third chapter of that's a tough word to say. Thessalonians. Helps if you have a lisp. He says, we didn't ask or get anything from you that we did not provide. They came and they worked with their own hands and they labored and they labored. But when we have a problem in the Lord, I ask ourselves, Lord, how much do we labor into helping take care of this problem? Okay, Lord, I understand that I have a problem loving somebody. And you say, Lord, help me love. You do realize when you say, Lord, help me to love, that he is going to place you in a position where you have to exercise and work your love. We joke when we say, do not ever ask for patience, right? Who here has ever said, don't pray for patience? Why? Because he puts things in your path that makes you have to have patience. Some of you are just now getting, just the out-of-towners. But we do that because we think, Lord, he could do it. He could miraculously transform you in the morning and you have a whole different personality. But the odds are you will still wake up the next morning and the challenges that you had when you went to bed, guess what? They will still be there the very next morning. The people that grated on your nerves will grate on your nerves the next day. The temper that you had the day before will be there the next day. The foul language that you had the day before, it will be there the next day. The craving for nicotine that you had the day before will be there the next day. The craving for alcoholic beverages in large quantities you had the day before will be there the next day. The craving that you had to put a needle in your arm will be there the next day. The craving that you had for sexual immorality will still be there the next day. But God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, I did a work for you. I got up on that cross that you might have life, but you're still going to have your problems. I gave this life to you, but the strength that I had when I came to this earth to get past all the things that became upon me, I now give to you. Because Scripture does say, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, or she, or it, or whatever you happen to call it. But it takes a nasty four-letter word, and it's called W-O-R-K. We have to work at it, little bit by little bit, every day. I've got a good friend that's a pastor who had temptations come upon him. See, pastors are no more immune to temptations of the world than anybody else. I know. We might stand up here, but really we should be standing like underneath you to help maybe lift you up. Because pastors, when you draw close to God, guess what Satan wants to do? Doesn't he come at you harder? Anybody here, Satan does not come after harder whenever you start to come closer to God and come closer to His Son, Jesus Christ? Man, you know, I feel a lot shorter down here. I'm feeling closer to Chris. Okay, I'm at Chris. I always wanted to be this tall, let me tell you. It would have been nice. But you know, whenever I've drawn closer to the Lord, it's just like things of the world press down harder. And that scripture that we read in Matthew simply says, don't worry about those things. It didn't say, don't do anything about those things. Just don't worry about those things. And there's a big difference. Anybody here have pressures at work? Anybody have any pressures at work? Stephanie, I got a.
I'm looking at Mrs. Van. We work together.
They work with children. Okay.
Teenagers.
They're children. Kids can offer up pressures and challenges, can't they? And sometimes you're not equipped, or you feel very ill-equipped. But once you start working at it, the things that you find difficult today, in 10 years, or 15 years, or 20 years from having been a teacher, you will much more be equipped, and you won't worry about them. They will still be the same problems, but you're not going to worry about them. Why? Over time, you have learned and you have worked at the solutions it takes to overcome the problems. The problem that we have in our Christian life at times is that we sit down and we say, Lord, I'm just tired. Take this from me. Just take it away. I don't want to do anything else anymore. I want you to do it all for me. But God doesn't do that. Because we don't learn when somebody else does something for us. Anybody here ever rented a car? Did you park it, that car far away in a parking lot, no closer to the other cars than if you had a brand new car of your own? You worked for the car that was your own, right? That was somebody else's car, something that had no value to you at all. How wonderful it is to know that when you work for something, when God puts you through something, to get you the solution that you've asked for. How sweeter it tastes. How sweeter it tastes. And it grows your faith. It grows your belief in knowing that He truly can get you through it. But we can't become complacent. In the third chapter of Thessalonians, in the second book of Thessalonians, I think it says that, that we aren't to be busybodies. See, here was the problem that they had in Thessalonia. They heard this sermon, is what I would gather, that Paul preached it to them. And so they all just stopped working. They all stopped doing anything. They said, well, God's going to come back in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, again. He's going to provide us everything. Why should we do anything? And we have a society today that says, well, the government's going to just take care of everything. Why should I have to go do this? And look, how many people have a hard time when you're standing in a grocery line and the person in front of you has two generations or maybe three generations of food stamps, and they're paying for everything with food stamps, and you're busting your backside to work every single day, and you get your checkout or you get your cash out to pay for your groceries, and you see that all those are taken care of for free. And it's not that they're in a wheelchair. It's not that they have oxygen and can barely move. They're standing just as upright as you are. They're joking and carrying on and walking and talking and running after their grandkids or kids. And you think to yourself, well, you have the ability to work just as much as I do. Anybody here other than me ever witnessed that? Does it not kind of make you do this inside? Because you're thinking, you're capable of working. I held down three jobs when I was your age. Or two jobs. But you see, we get that attitude towards people in our own society when we see that they become unproductive. We see them as being lazy, living off the system. But God doesn't allow that in our Christian lives. We can't be lazy. We can't be unproductive. God calls us to work. Not only do we have to work on our problems, guess what? When you overcome the things that you have gone through in your own life by working at it, we have experienced teacher. We have new teacher. New teacher gains knowledge on how to get through the problems from the experienced teacher. Does she not? Does that also not go from brother and sister in the Lord in the problems that they've had? Months ago, I sat before you and cried out to you how to handle a problem with a child with addictions because I was ill-equipped for it. Through the years, God has helped me to deal with it and caused me to learn things. And now if anybody within the church has that problem, I can relate. I know what they're going through. And I can help. When we do nothing about our problems. Yeah, you might have faith that God will take care of it. But you don't have enough faith that God will let you help Him take care of it through you. Through you. Get up. Get to work. Don't be satisfied where you are in the Lord right now. Desire more. Truly desire more. If you stay in one spot, you don't draw closer to God. You realize that? You just stay right where you are. Draw closer to Him.